And it's this, that as Christian people, those who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, the prince of this world, the enemy, has no hold on us. I can only go as far as the lead, so you're safe there. It's, to me, seriously, this is more than an amen. Because what it does, it makes us Teflon coated. My generation, does anyone know what Teflon is? Yeah, okay, the old people here. We know what it is. It's Teflon coated is non-stick, which means that anything that the enemy wants to throw at us as Christians, it doesn't stick unless we allow it to. Does that make sense? Any kind of sense? A few nods. I just think that for some of us, that's really, really important, because the enemy would make us believe that what he says is truth. The enemy would make us believe that actually we can't chuck these things off, and we can in the name of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone here this morning, any of us who are feeling that we're not non-stick, help us to trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm speaking about the peace of God which passes all understanding. As a church, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and the final one today is on peace. And I want us to think about the peace that Jesus talked about, the peace that he gives, and how he gives it, and how that might enable us as Christians to live a fruitful life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the power of your word would speak to our hearts and transform us from the inside out, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A question for you, and I don't want you to answer it. I don't want you to talk to your neighbour about it. I'd just like you to ponder on it, and it's this. If you knew you were going to die very soon, what would you say to your nearest and dearest? If you knew you were going to die very soon, what would you say to your nearest and dearest? The reason I ask that question is because this passage in John 14 is part of Jesus' farewell message to his followers, his disciples. And Jesus says this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus promises a number of things. Jesus promises that the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Question: who's got the Holy Spirit? Oh, two hands up there. Well done. Anyone who puts their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Is it conditional? You sure? But surely it's conditional on how I feel. Surely it's conditional on how good I am. And you all know I'm really good. It isn't, is it? And this is the beauty of it and the wonderful thing that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and it's a free gift. If I was going to offer you a gift this morning, if I was going to give you something, what would you say? Thank you very much. Would you? What would you do before you said thank you very much? You'd take it. You'd put your hands out and take it. But then you might think, once you've taken it, particularly if it was wrapped up, I wonder what's in there. I wonder if it's a trick. I wonder what Everton wants in return. Because that's how our mind works. But actually, God doesn't want anything in return. He offers it freely and lovingly to us. And where does the Holy Spirit reside? Where does he live? Sorry, reside, live. In our hearts, in us. And is that conditional? Does he come and go? No. And part, you see, the reason I'm labouring this about the Holy Spirit is the fact that you can't have peace without the Holy Spirit. You can't have love, joy, peace without the Holy Spirit. And often people talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's actually the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because you can't pick and choose. There's nine. You can't say, oh, today I'll have love, tomorrow I'll have joy, the following day I'll have peace. It's all or nothing. It's the whole package. And that's what we're called to exhibit, is the whole package. He promises a free gift. He promises that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and remind us of Jesus' words. And as I said, no Holy Spirit, no fruit. Jesus also promises that this is a peace far bigger and better and different to the world's peace. I decided yesterday to Google the word peace. How many hits do you think I got on Google? Roughly. 10,000? Here's the truth. 2,890,000,000 hits on the word peace in Google. Here are some of the definitions. Freedom from disturbance, tranquility, calm, quiet, no war, war has ended, and a golden rule of peace. Treat others as you would like others to treat you. So many disciplines today teach us how to have peace. Meditation, all sorts of stuff, inner peace, inner calm, inner quiet. Is that the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about? No, I don't think so. I don't think it is. Let me suggest that the peace Jesus is talking about is shalom. It's about a right relationship with God through Jesus, which gives us peace. Let's go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve, God had created, they were in the garden, and it says in the Bible that they were naked and unashamed before God. And I'm going to suggest that that is true, that they were naked and unashamed, but it's more than just this figure and figurative, it's symbolism as well. Because naked and unashamed means that there is nothing hidden, nothing secret. Face to face, total honesty, total peace, because you are known by God and you know Him. There is a perfect relationship. And then the fall comes. Just as a little aside, whose fault is the fall? I was wondering who was going to be brave enough to say, why Adam? He should have been, I can hear the voice, sorry. He should have intervened. You're so right. Because so many people blame Eve. I'm going to suggest as a man it was Adam's fault. That he should have taken responsibility and he should have intervened. But the fall comes and there's a separation. There's a separation between man and God. There's a separation, which means distance. And Jesus comes to restore that relationship. And if you read the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, a passage which is used so often at funerals, it speaks of a future time of peace where the dwelling of man is with God. No mourning, no pain, no crying, no sea. It actually says no sea. I think that's about separation. There's no separation between man and God. But Jesus comes to bring peace. Jesus has a peace which he wants to impart to his followers. And I'm going to suggest that it's not just to his followers then, but it's to his followers now. So what's his peace? His peace, his shalom, is knowing the Father. His peace and shalom is knowing the Father's will. His peace and shalom is being obedient to God. He was content in that. Contentment doesn't come by all these wonderful disciplines. Contentment comes from the Holy Spirit. John, I'm going to borrow you again. Sorry, I borrowed him in the earlier service. I'm going to borrow him again. Now, you've got to have a vivid imagination. He knows what to do already, you see. You've got to have a vivid imagination. John is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Easy to imagine. Easy to imagine. So here's John, and here's me. Everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit goes. Wherever the Holy Spirit goes, I go. Sit down. You see, there's no separation. Because I've got the Holy Spirit, wherever I go, he goes, and vice versa. And the Holy Spirit all the time is continually teaching me, continually giving me peace, shalom. And inner peace come from the Holy Spirit, not necessarily by other disciplines. I know some disciplines do help, so I'm not poo-pooing all disciplines. But what I am saying is that if we want the true fruit of the Spirit that Jesus is offering, we have to receive the Holy Spirit. Free gift from God. I'm saying it, and I realize that as I'm saying it, we live in a world and a society where we don't have truth anymore. We have your truth, your truth, your truth, your truth. I'm standing here saying it. This isn't Everton's truth. This is God's truth. I'm saying it because I believe it to be true and because God is the ultimate judge. God is the ultimate giver of truth. It isn't about our truth. And we... Sorry, people, we're in a mess. Our world is in a mess. This is a little aside. Our world is in a mess because we've turned our back on God. Our world is in a mess because we've lost sight of what the truth is. Our world is in a mess because we've not accepted the peace that Jesus Christ gives us. And peace and truth and justice and righteousness only come through one person, and it's Jesus. There is no other way. And I could stand here and I could lie and I could wrap it up, but I hope and believe I'm telling you the truth. Jesus gives us a peace. And in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, he talks about peace. What does it say? Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, I thought some people said, blessed are the peacekeepers. Because I think we've misinterpreted that verse. One of those things is active and one's passive. Being a peacekeeper is passive. Being a peacemaker is active. And Jesus was a peacemaker, not passive. We're not called to lie back and do nothing. We're called to work at peace and to do the things which bring peace. But first of all, we have to have peace. I think Jean asked the question the other week. I think it was Jean, can't remember, getting old. I think you said, what makes us happy? I can't remember. You can't remember either. Perhaps it wasn't you. What makes us happy? And so many people are looking for happiness, but also looking for that inner contentment, that inner peace. There's a man I looked up, St. Augustine of Hippo, who was a great theologian and philosopher, and he deeply wanted fame and status. But he found, even after having these things, none of them made him happy. He could have everything that he wanted, but nothing made him happy. What made him happy was reflecting on Psalm 119. And after reading that and meditating on that, this is what he says. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest, their peace in you. Simple, isn't it? We can search for all sorts of things in all sorts of places, but our hearts are restless until they find their peace in God through Jesus Christ. I stand here as one who's tried to do that. Find my peace, my rest, my acceptance in all the wrong places. Anyone else done that? Or is it just me? Oh, you're smiling, so it must be a few more of you then. And you search and you look and you realize that it's in all the wrong places. And you realize the only thing that satisfies is God. The only person who is able to transform us, and he does it from the inside out, and because he does that, we radiate something of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. I used to be a radiographer many, many years ago, and I had to go to theatre to take an x-ray, and I was dressed in all your theatre gear, so all that was shown was my eyes, really. And one of the nurses came up to me and she said, Everton, it's Everton, isn't it? You're a Christian. And I thought, oh, wonderful. She must have seen the glow, the radiation, you know, of being a Christian. I said, how did you know? She said, somebody told me. But here's the deal. As a Christian, we should show the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and all the rest. But what I want to say, just in passing, is that it's something, A, that the world can't do, and that we cannot work up. Because I think so many of us try to do it in our own strength. All that does is make me tired and guilty. Doesn't it? And I go round in circles. It's allowing what God has put within us to come out. You know, I've been a Christian since 1977. It's a long time, isn't it? And I thought, becoming a Christian, I would be totally peaceful. I thought life would be a breeze. Life isn't a breeze. But I want to assure you of one thing, and one only thing only, is that despite everything that goes on in life, there is a peace because of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And it's a peace that the world can't shake. And you see, when I die, I know where I'm going. And it excites me. Be a bit of a mess for you if I died in the next few minutes, but someone will have to finish my sermon. The notes are there. But I'm excited. I'll tell you why I'm excited, because that is ultimate peace. When I die and I see God and Jesus face to face, what a day that will be. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And I want to go out singing. I don't know whether that will happen, but that's how I want to go out. I want to go out rejoicing. I want to go out praising my Savior. However it happens. And what a transformation. In a world where there's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more injustice, no more wickedness, but a restored relationship, a restored peace with God and Jesus, and nothing to blemish it. What a day of rejoicing that will be. What a place that will be. Anyone else looking forward to it? Yes. Thank you. Because it's our ultimate peace. But in the meantime, we work for peace. In the meantime, we allow God's Holy Spirit to come out from us wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And I want to encourage you, people of God, don't work it up. Don't. Just let him out. Don't work it up. Jesus gives his peace freely. It's a peace which passes all human understanding. Let's be a people who work for peace, live for peace, bring peace wherever Jesus has put you. This isn't, and I hope nobody feels condemned, this isn't about condemnation. This is about the amazing love of God through Jesus Christ, who plants his Holy Spirit in us and calls us to shine for him in a dark world, which desperately, desperately, desperately needs Jesus. I'm going to finish in a minute. But I so want to see with my own eyes this world transformed for Jesus. I want to see with my own eyes Salisbury transformed for Jesus. I long to see people turning back to God through Jesus. I long to see people's lives transformed for Jesus. Why? Because he is the only answer. Amen.